93.7 The River, River City's classic rock. You're exactly 6 minutes away from another $1,000. We'll give you that code word. Text it back. Hopefully, you'll take our first chance at loot for the Monday of this week. Each and every hour, $12,000 a day. And as the relationship guru and marriage expert on this show, with almost 22 years of holy monotony, matrimony, I read things and I like to share these things. One, because they interest me. And two, I want to try and repair Joe's animosity and then sway Dana into a life without sin. That's why when I see this relationship stuff, I want Joe to get back on the horse. And Dana, I want you, please stop living in sin. At some point, you need to get married. You need to get a ring on it. These are the seven things that science says. You know how much Joe loves science? Mm-hmm. Seven things science says will end your relationship or marriage early. Okay?
Really?
All right.
So I want to go through these.
Okay.
And see how many of them apply to either myself, Joe, or to Dana. Dana, still living in sin. Mm-hmm. Getting married in your teens or after age 32. Dana's still not married. Dana, right now, what this says is part of this scientific study, you were in that wheelhouse.
The clock is ticking, right?
No, you're in the sweet spot right now. This is when you should get married. You're 28?
Yeah, so I got 4 years is what you're saying.
Yeah, you got 4 years. How old were you, Joe, when you got married?
32.
Yeah. It says right here, getting married in your teens or after age 32 is bad. The best time to get married, according to this, is when you're ready. You know, you don't want to force anyone into it. And because you hear something like this on the radio or read a study online, don't let studies sway you. But research does suggest that couples who marry in their teens and couples who marry in their mid-30s or later are at a far greater risk for divorce than couples in their late 20s or early 30s. The risk is especially high for teenage couples.
That's crap. That's that right there. Okay. And if this is science, because I was early 30s.
Okay, no, but you were 32.
That's early.
No. It says
33, 34, or 34, 35, 36 should be mid-30s.
Teens or after age 32. So you were 32 or after.
It's very specific.
Yes, you should have gotten married before you were 32.
No, that is what
threw the wrench into your marriage.
If it would have been that way, it would have said after 31. I got married at 32.
Okay, as you sit here, divorce, do you want to argue with science? Do you want to argue with this stat right here? Because that hits you like a hammer on a nail.
I'd kind of like to.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to argue with science.
I was 24 when I got married, so I was a bit young, but 22 years later, relationship guru. Sorry. I don't know what to say. Sometimes I wake up and it amazes me. Sometimes I wake up, my wife's still lying next to me. I can't believe it. I don't know how. Here's another one. Seven scientific things that will ruin your marriage.
Okay.
Having a husband who does not work full time. Doesn't matter. The woman, whether they say, oh, honey, you could stay home and take care of the kids. I'll go make the bacon. Deep down inside, physiologically, by virtue of what we are, the women want the men gathering and hunting and whittling and skinning the animals.
Whittling.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter if it's the 1600s or 2017. The women don't want logs. They don't want the feed up. They don't want the sports center. They don't want the video game. As much as they say that, oh, it's okay, honey. You just do the dishes and you take care of the diaper. No.
No?
No. Well, according to this, and this was done last year, Harvard study. They're the ones that came out with all this stuff, and they say that in heterosexual marriages that began after 1975, they learned that couples, which the husband didn't have a full-time job, had a 3.3% chance of divorcing the following year.
Wow.
And the stats keep going. They keep going to support this. So if there's any mommy dads out there, any stay-at-home dads, no matter what your wife says or how much time you're having off and enjoying it, you better get your ass back to work because it's straining the relationship. And we had the Dreamweaver lady on.
Yeah, that was an awesome little time with her.
And do you remember the one lady called up and she said that she was having this weird dream? I don't remember what it was, but
she was cheating on her husband with her husband.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was.
But couldn't see his face in the dream, yes. But knew it was him.
Yeah.
And so our dream lady said, well, what's going on? And remember, she unleashed this whole can of worms about how he doesn't work all the time. Mm-hmm. She feels like she has to do everything. She was pissed off. And that came out in the dream.
Yeah.
And it was legit.
That was so crazy.
Here's another thing. If, in fact, you're going to get divorced. Seven things here. This one is not finishing high school. It doesn't seem fair that couples who spend more time in school, it goes on and on and on. If you started out in school and then you didn't finish, chances are you won't finish your marriage, is basically what this part of the study says.
So if you've got a GED or no high school diploma at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You, well, no. It doesn't say anything about GED. It just says graduating.
I was going to say GED should mean that you're really a go-getter, because not only did you not finish high school, but you decided to get yourself up and go back and get yourself something close to
Yeah, you went around the block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Showing contempt for your partner. Seeing that your partner is beneath you. Criticizing. Turning the behavior against your partner. Defensiveness. Stonewalling, meaning blocking conversations. All those things will end your relationship sooner. Being overly affectionate is newlyweds. Dana, are you and Kenny, even though you're living in center, are you guys overly kissy and huggy and touchy?
No.
Never?
No, like, in public or just in general?
No, in general.
In general, no. I would say it's a normal amount of affection.
based on what? It's a normal amount. Dana's so funny.
Yeah.
It's a normal amount of affection.
Yeah.
Let me ask it this way. Dana, are you the snuggly type? Do you like to snuggle with Kenny? Are you a snuggler or a hugger?
But we don't get to snuggle really anymore because we have a 2-year-old, so...
Well, why can't you snuggle with the 2-year-old or when the 2-year-old goes to bed?
Because our 2-year-old is... Okay, well, one, the 2-year-old sleeps in our bed. Two, I go to bed way before Kenny, and I wake up way before he does. Three, I can't remember what the third point was.
Get the 2-year-old out of your bed. Why does she still sleep with you?
I don't want your unsolicited parenting advice.
Thank you, Dana.
No.
Thank you.
This isn't... Hold on.
I don't want it.
Now, don't confuse parenting advice, Dana, for marital advice.
Oh,
I am the expert.
Excuse me.
This is 22 years of marital advice. Yeah. My son's 50. Get the daughter out of the bed.
That has nothing to do with anything.
It does.
No.
You read books and books, and you see story upon story. You must get her to sleep in your own bed to rekindle that relationship with you and Kenneth. You have to.
We're fine. We don't need rekindling. We have plenty of kindling.
But you said that you don't get to snuggle as often as you'd like.
We don't get to snuggle as often as we like. No.
No one does. I don't get to snuggle at all.
Well, no, you need to buy a Snuggie. That's what you need to get.
What I need is a snuggler.
So if you're overly affectionate as newlyweds, be careful because the fire or flame will burn out as you go on. A couple more here.
True.
You never want to withdraw during conflict. You don't want to just run the other way. Anytime stuff gets heated, they say face it, fix it, move on to the next problem. Don't hide. Don't run. Don't medicate in the garage with pounds and pounds of marijuana is basically what this is saying.
Oh, is it saying that right there? Because that may be a wrong turn that I've taken.
Yes. Don't hide in the garage and smoke your hashish. Face the problems no matter how big or how small.
Okay.
Describing your relationship in a negative way. Do you do that, Dana? Dana, are you a man hater?
I'm not a man hater. I have my moments of weakness where I get frustrated.
She's a man hater.
Do you, though, with your friends, your close friends, and I don't think Kenny's not up right now, is he?
No, okay. He's sleeping, thankfully.
Are you one of those chicks when you're out and you start henning around and you're out there with all the, you're crowing and you start cackling?
She starts henning around.
Yeah. I totally just sit there and cluck and, you know.
Yeah. Do you start trashing Kenny?
No, I have a friend that I trash Kenny to, but that is it. I don't do it outside of that.
Okay, but one friend or
that's
ten...
That's my confidant.
And everyone should have one of those.
Yeah.
But...
No, I don't do that. Because I don't think that it's healthy.
It isn't healthy.
If you talk like that about your significant other, then you start believing those things about them, and that skews your perception of them.
And... your friends will pick up your distaste for this person, and they'll start convincing you that he's a bad person, too.
Right.
And the fire just grows bigger, and what you do is end up leaving.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly believe you shouldn't be saying negative things in general. Like, you shouldn't be calling each other names. You shouldn't be saying things like, oh, your dad's such a deadbeat or whatever to your kid. Like, those are just all negative things that will eventually come back upon you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing. Positivity, looking at it and approaching it from a different light will give you more... I guess outlook and better outlook to help secure or concrete the relationship. Mm-hmm. If you're that miserable and you're going to backstab and backtalk like you do with your one confidant, Dana, chances are you're not with the right person.
Oh, really?
You know what?
Do you ever cluck about your wife on the radio?
Yeah, but he's got 100,000 confidants because he does it here.
Yeah.
Now, on a daily basis.
I do it on the radio. Now, here's the thing. You can call this a weak excuse. I do it on the radio, but I don't do it with anyone else.
Oh, okay. Just, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
You do it on a street corner with a megaphone where the entire city can hear you, but you'd never do it in private.
No, because here's the thing. These hundreds of thousands of people, they don't know me. We don't hang out. They don't hang out with my wife.
They know us pretty well.
They do, but we're never going to have relationships like at home or for Christmas and all that stuff. So it's a little bit different. So, yeah, I do it on the radio, but no, I do not go out with my bros like, oh, yeah, man, that bitch don't do the dishes. She, you know, she won't do that naughty stuff in the bedroom anymore. I don't do that. I really don't. And the reason I don't is because my wife doesn't do it.
Okay.
We really try to stay away from that because as you get into a 22-year marriage and meet other people that are older, you start to meet people that have 10, 15, 20 years, and you find out that all men are miserable and all women hate men. And they start talking, you know, as soon as the guys go to do a beer run or the guys go out to turn the meat or they're going to go out in the garage and look at the car, the women start going, oh, my God, did you hear what Carl did? Carl's a scum. And they start doing that. Yeah, Carl. Carl's like the worst human in the world.
I know. Carl's just all over the place time.
He's I feel bad for Carl out there, like the actual Carl that listens. Yeah. He's like, my God.
Why are you talking about me?
My name keep coming up.
Carl needs to go down and change his name.
You remember a while ago, though, we were talking, this is a long time ago, and we were talking about everyone having a backup person that they would go to if their relationship failed.
What?
Yeah, this is something he said, man. And listeners kind of were chiming in, and they were saying, you know what, that's kind of true. There is a backup person.
I kind of remember that. Everybody's got someone they could fall back on. Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of like that. Like, if the relationship was to go bad, whether you're married or just dating or whatever... And you know it's heading bad, or maybe you don't know it's heading bad, you still have a person on the hook, a backup person.
I kind of remember this. 766-9370, we got to give you the cash and do GNR, then we'll come back. I want to talk more about this, though, because I kind of remember. And people called up, and they said, yeah, I've always got this guy on the side burner. And a guy said, I've got this chick that I would go after if my wife left. I remember that now.
Yeah.
766-9370, here comes the money.